back on the show, one of our favorites, Mike Gittins from the War Report. Busy time for you, Mike, with goes without saying. So I really appreciate you taking the time to chop it up with us.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's always a pleasure to come on that SEC podcast. Feels like light years since SEC media days when we sat down and talked about expectations for this Auburn football program. I think they've met some of those expectations. They've fallen extremely short in other areas, but you know, it's no short of excitement here on the plains right now.
Yeah, and man, yeah, you got me thinking now. If I go back to media days, it was, you know, you put it, you were one of the very few Auburn people that put it, you know, as bluntly, that you got to deliver. And it's going to be a really good year, or it's going to be a really bad year. And unfortunately for Auburn, it was a really bad year. And I think I told you when I joined your show, I thought Jackson Arnold was like the ultimate X factor in the SEC. He could, yeah, he could take Auburn to new heights, or he could be a disaster. I don't know if I'd call him a disaster. I think it's more the offensive play caller and scheme and all that. But needless to say, I mean, this has just been a nightmare for the offense for Hugh Freeze and company.
It has been a nightmare. And we went to a press conference this week where John Cohen stood in front of us, the media, and said, Mike, he said, if we even had an average offense, I wouldn't be standing in front of you right now. Scathing words from the athletic director. They hired what was supposed to be an offensive guru. And, you know, Jake Crane said this at media days. He said, you can be bad at the things you're bad at, but you can't be bad at the things you're supposed to be good at. And you're supposed to be good at offense. And Auburn's offense, if I had told you before the season that this defense would not give up more than 24 points to any opponent, you'd think that they were a one-loss team at this point. And that's what they've done. So they have met expectations defensively. This offseason, they made DJ Durkin the second highest paid assistant in the country, and this is why. The defense has played in an absolute lights out level. Before we started recording, you said it yourself. This is a championship level defense, and they are sub 500 right now. And they're faced with, if they can't win at least two of the next three, they won't go to a bowl game with a defense that is clearly top 20. You know how bad you have to play offensively to be there? This Hugh Freeze era, I think, is going to be marked by him not being able to do the two things he said that he would do when he got hired. In his introductory press conference, he said, I do two things well. We develop quarterbacks and we turn programs around quickly. And I think we can safely say neither one of those things happened. So it's disappointing. It is. I had high hopes for the team. But I was also very clear on this very show at media days, at 7-5, everything is on the table. You go 7-5 with this roster, firing should not be off the table. And here we are. He didn't even make it to the end of the season. He didn't make it to 7-5 before they fired him. So it was just a lot going on behind the scenes here. I think the stories will start to come out as we get a little further from this. This is fresh and raw for a lot of people. But offensively, you know, Cam Coleman should be the best receiver in the SEC today. The fact that we're not talking about him leading every receiving category right now, I think, is indicative of how the failure that this offense was under Hugh Freeze. He told everyone that he had six offensive linemen, Mike, that would receive NFL grades. An NFL scout told him that. They lead the league in sacks given up on the quarterback. How is that possible? Tell me how that's possible, except for that you are not developing kids at a high level. So the talent is there. He blamed the talent his first 2 years. And when he did it the first year, and everybody said, oh, look at what Harsin left him, I said, no. This record is not about what Harsin left him, because you had Jarquez Hunter at running back, and he underperformed under Hugh Freeze. And look, the NFL loves him. Come on, man. He should have led the SEC in rushing last year, but they just wouldn't give him the football. He had 70 less carries than Dylan Sampson at Tennessee while averaging 6.4 yards per carry. Every time they gave him the ball 20 times, they won. Yet that was not a regular occurrence under Hugh Freeze. This was coaching malpractice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look, man, I appreciate Hugh Freeze for the time that he gave us. You know, he was very gracious with his time. He sat down with us multiple times. But this offense woefully underperformed under his guidance, and it was just time for him to be accountable for that. And I think most reasonable Auburn fans agree.
What do you think? And maybe there's not just like one answer to this, but biggest mistake that Hugh Freeze made to why he's no longer the head coach here. What if I asked you that, what's your answer?
That's a great question. It would be quarterback. Failure to pick a quarterback because, you know, and quite honestly, I'm not putting this on the quarterbacks. I'm telling you, this coach needed a quarterback that could carry his bad play calling. And he didn't have that. Like, you know, Gus gets a lot of credit for Cam Newton in 2010. But let's be honest, man, Cam, it just didn't matter what you called with Cam, right? He was just an unstoppable force of nature. And if you had, when you had him, you didn't have him. And so it was hard to call a bad play with Cam Newton at quarterback. I would say the same thing with Joe Burrow in 2019 at LSU. It's hard to call a bad play with a guy who's going to complete 77% of his passes. A lot of people said of Joe Burrow, they said, well, if I had, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, I would be 70%. No. That was when you get a really good quarterback throwing to average receivers, you get really good production. When you get a really, really good quarterback throwing to really, really good receivers, you get records broken. And that's what we saw at LSU. He was dropping dimes to those guys. So they were taking him to the house and they broke every offensive record ever that year. And he needed that kind of quarterback for this system. He needed a guy who was coming, who would come in already ready-made. The problem with that was he got hired because people were looking at what we thought was quarterback development in the past with Malik Willis at Liberty, formerly at Auburn, with the Bo Wallaces and the Shea Pattersons and all these guys that played under him. And I'm starting to wonder how much of that was just those guys being who they were. And, you know, like, I don't know, man. It's hard. It's very, very, very hard for me to justify what we thought he was or what he ended up being here, because the resources were there. He was given every single resource a coach could ask for. And when people say Auburn is a bad job or it's not the job, I don't agree with that, Mike. I think that, you know, if you come in and you look at the facilities and you look at the money that's given, any coach would kill to be in that position where they got more than $30 million in NIL for their football program and a $92 million performance center that rivals some NFL facilities I've seen. Auburn is a good job, but, you know, with all that resource comes accountability and responsibility, and he just didn't live up to it.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you said that, because I was on Jocks Radio last week when they still had Hugh Freeze. And I think Paul Feinbaum too that week. And I said, hey, because I already knew Hugh was getting fired. I mean, we all knew it, right? But I said, hey, the day they fire him, which is going to be soon, just go get you John Summerall. And I think if they can keep this thing together, you know, just a quality coach. It doesn't have to be John Summerall, but just a really good coach. Doesn't have to. You don't have to win the press conference. You don't have to go get Lane Kiffin or John Gruden or something ridiculous like that. Just go get a really good college coach. And this program can compete for a playoff next year. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that's, again, we have no idea who's going to be on the roster or anything like that, but I believe they have the resources, and what that really means is money and the fans and everything. You mentioned the facilities. They got everything that if they just had a quality coach. I don't think this is a total rebuild. I think this is a really good next team next season if they can keep it together.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment 100%. I don't think this is a rebuild at all if you can hold the roster together. Now, you've got a couple of options here. Doing this when they did, I think it's perfect, because you've got two top 15 matchups and you've got a guy who essentially will be auditioning for the job in DJ Durkin. If he wins the next three, can you imagine not hiring that guy? Because if you keep him, you're going to keep your defense together, and the offensive players have all seen how the defense is run. They will play for him. Go out and find yourself a play caller. You know, one of the more interesting storylines over the next few weeks is that with Hugh Freeze saying that, you know, this guy calls a play and this guy calls a play, and we delegate play calling responsibilities on first and second down. DJ Durkin came out yesterday and said, Derek Nix is going to be the primary play caller every down. And I'm not going to meddle in that. That's not in my wheelhouse. So can you imagine if this offense goes up against Vanderbilt and lays up 40? You're absolutely going to know where the problem was lied, removing Hugh Freeze from the situation there. So, I agree. I don't think that it has to be a rebuild. You just have to show some promise. You got to keep – Auburn has an excellent recruiting staff, led by Kenyatta Watson and Will Redmond, who came over from LSU. Those guys are more responsible for that roster than we give Hugh Freeze way too much credit for recruiting. I'm telling you right now, those guys are the key to holding a lot of players here. And your best shot is that DJ Durkin does well over the next few weeks. You keep those guys in place and you have a chance to keep almost all of the talent here. I've talked to, you know, some of the big name players camps so far, and they're still in right now until Auburn put something on paper that, you know, says, hey, we shouldn't be in. So you got to make some good decisions here if you're John Cohen. He promised us yesterday that he was going to spend every waking moment making sure that Auburn getting back in the winning column is a reality. And look, man, he's fortunate to get two opportunities to hire a head football coach. So we'll see what he does with it here. But there's certainly some big names out there. So Summerall is, talking to our listeners, there's a love-hate with Summerall. There's a lot of people who like that. I like the name. A lot of people feel like that's not the splash that Auburn needs right now. I'm not sure you need a splash. I think that you need somebody who's got the energy, the system, and the system for development of players, and that can make good decisions. Talent evaluation offensively has been an issue at Auburn under Hugh Freeze. You picked the wrong quarterback 3 years straight. And that's all about talent evaluation. You called Jackson Arnold a freak. I know, you called Jackson Arnold the biggest boomer bust player in the SEC, or maybe even all of college football last year. And you were right. You know, unfortunately, it was on the bus side, but I think that has more to do with who his coach was than, you know, what he's capable of. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of decisions that they make moving forward here. They need somebody who understands and can see kids with that it factor and get the most out of them. So I'm excited to see what DJ Durkin does as he auditions for the job the next 3 weeks. But also, John Cohen can't kick the can down the road here. They've got to announce a hire pretty much after the Iron Bowl, I'd give them a few days after the Iron Bowl. So if we make it to that following Wednesday and they have not hired a coach, that's a disaster for Auburn. I'm telling you, because with the coaching market now and all the jobs that are open, all the guys that are available, they're going to start filling up fast. And Auburn, you'd want to end up with the guy you want and not just who you can get this time.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about the Hugh Freeze era. Because you reference it, and I can't recommend to my audience enough, especially, of course, the Auburn fans that we have, to go check out the War Report. You guys do a tremendous job, all the content you're putting out. But I watched, there was a live stream, I believe you guys did, when Hugh Freeze got let go, and you had an interesting comment about Cadillac Williams, who, you know, he had an opportunity to perhaps get the job himself. This is before they hired Hugh Freeze, but you know, he was obviously very, very popular down there. And can you kind of rehash that story you shared on the War Report?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, Cadillac was very outspoken in his opposition to how some things were being done and how some decisions were going to be being made. And you know, I said this on my live stream, you know, when you work in a corporate environment, you know, you can dissent from your boss, but you got to be politically correct and you got to do things a certain way. Some things came up that were kind of scandalous, but that wasn't really why they let him go, right? Like, he got forced out because he was too openly in dissent with the head coach on certain decisions about quarterback and how the offense was being run. And I don't know, man. After watching how it all played out, it's hard to say that he probably wasn't right about some of the things that he was seeing that he thought weren't being done well. I don't know how you can look at these sub 500 records and think, yeah, there wasn't something wrong, but Cadillac saw it, and he's not the only one who saw it. There are guys currently on that staff who saw it, and I'm gonna leave their names out of this now because they're still on staff, but you know, they have spoken up and have been at odds with, you know, the former head coach about how things were being done there. So, you know, what we know for a certain is that it wasn't being done the right way, or Auburn wouldn't have made this change. So, you know, when it comes down to it, is you need a guy with a good vision that people can get behind. And not everybody was behind Hugh Freeze's way of doing things. And you know, I respect what DJ Durkin said when he took the podium yesterday. He thanked Hugh Freeze. John Cohen thanked Hugh Freeze for his time and his work. You know, those are the things that you got to say. But he also said in the same breath, literally sentences later, if we even had an average offense, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. So he's thanking him, but he's also saying, you did a crap job with our offense. And then now we have to go find somebody who won't do a crap job. And that's as simply as I can put it, right? You got hired to do one thing and you didn't do it. So we had to let you go. And there were guys on there, on this staff over the last few years, guys like Cadillac, guys like Philip Montgomery, who, you know, if I bet you if you had a conversation with Philip Montgomery, which I have had, he would tell you, like, look, man, this that wasn't my offense that got me fired year one. That was his offense. And he got scapegoated. So it's just time to move on from this. I appreciate Hugh Freeze in a lot of ways for the time, again, the time and the graciousness, and he seemed genuine in some ways, but ultimately, you know, this wasn't a good culture offensively. And I don't think anybody can say that it was at this point.
How realistic is it that you think the DJ Durkin could get this job full time? And is it a mistake to think that, you know, anytime I realize not as well as you, cause you're an Auburn guy, but I understand the importance of the Iron Bowl, but should we be naming the head coach because you win the Iron Bowl? Is that a reason? And I'm not saying that is the reason they would hire him, but that can't be the sole reason. Does that make sense? Like, is there a danger of maybe they do catch a little fire here and then they hire him and then a year down the road, you're like, oh man, I think we just got a little too emotional, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it won't be because they win the Iron Bowl. It'll be how they win the Iron Bowl. If you win the Iron Bowl and then it looks clean and it looks well planned and it looks executed and it looks like you beat the crap out of a good football team because you were the better football team in every aspect, all from players all the way down to planning, then you hire them for that reason. If you squeak out of the Iron Bowl on some crazy fluke and the offense still looks like crap and the defense is making all kind of mistakes, then no, that's not a reason to, you know what I mean? And it can happen. The Iron Bowl's a wacky thing. So I would say, you know, you take you back. Last time Auburn beat Alabama, 2019, I would not say the offense played well in that game. Now, it was Gus's team. But they needed two pick sixes, one of which bounced off the running back's back and was returned by Zakobi McClain 100 yards for a touchdown and to win by 3 points. So, yeah, defensively, they came up with the plays, but I would not say that was a well-oiled machine offensively. So if you win a game like that, certainly you'll take a win in the Iron Bowl. But, you know, as far as evaluating the head coach on that performance, that's not the kind of performance you want to see, right? What you want to see is you want to see them execute. You want to see the offensive line get up there and win their matchups. You want to see them play smash-mouth football, run the ball down Alabama's throat. This is a defense that can be run on. I mean, look at the numbers, dude. They're giving up run yards right now. And if you can do those things and you can attack them where they're weak and it looks like a good plan at home in what will be a raucous environment, man, Auburn fans have not quit on this team, man. They've showed up every single week. As a matter of fact, they showed up so much, there were 30,000 of them after the Kentucky game to sit there and chant, fire Hugh. I don't know if you saw that Twitter, but I posted that video on Twitter. That's how much they showed up, man. They were like, yeah, look, we are right here, so we're staying to make sure you know how we feel about how this looked. I think that if he can win the next three cleanly, I don't think there's a route to him going 3-0 over the next and them squeaking by it. I think they're going to have to look good to win the next three games because Vanderbilt is a good football team, man. I think it's been past time that we give them credit for who they are. I think Alabama is a good football team this year, but they've got some weaknesses. And if you can exploit them and you can win the next two, one's going to be on the road, one's going to be at home. I don't know how you don't give him a serious chance based on logging two top 15 wins when the previous 8 weeks or 7 weeks or 9 weeks or whatever, you could not beat one ranked team. You lost every game that mattered from Oklahoma all the way through Missouri. You had four straight ranked matchups. You lost them all. I would give him a look if he could, and I think that they will. Like the DJ Durkin, now you got to remember, Auburn believed in him enough to make him the second highest paid assistant in the country this offseason. So if you were willing to do that, I just don't know why you wouldn't be willing to go one more step and say, you know what? The way the coaching market is right now with the roster that we have and with the guys already bought into this guy, let's just give him a shot, man. And maybe you save a few dollars. You don't have to. I mean, Mark Stoops is making $9 million a year at Kentucky right now. Come on, man. We can give DJ Durkin 7 or 8, and then at least we know the defense will be good, right?
Yeah. Well, you made me think of something. That Iron Bowl that Auburn won, was that the one where Bama kicked a field goal and it hit the upright and they lost?
No. That was that one. I think that's all the way back to 2013, I think, that you're thinking okay. about. They dinged a couple there, but man, I'm telling you, this is going to be a wild 3 weeks. I mean, I've never seen so much excitement and drama over a losing football team right now. Right, they're sub 500, but they still have a chance at a bowl game. They got to win two out of the next three to be in the Birmingham Bowl or the Music City Bowl or whatever 6-win right. bowl. they might make it to. But I think that there's still a lot of kids who, I mean, you know, one of the advantages that Auburn has is that Auburn, they love Auburn. These kids don't want to leave. I'm telling you, it's such a hard decision when they have to hit the portal because they love the community and they love their friends and they're ingrained in the culture there. And it's a really hard decision to make to say, hey, I'm going to leave all that I built here from a community and a family standpoint. A lot of these kids have never left home. Guys like Cam Coleman, his family's right down the road in Phoenix City. You know, I know his dad, Will, went to high school together. It would be a hard decision for him to make the decision to have to leave Auburn right now. So he just needs the university to do their part, man, and put a plan in place that they can get on board with. And you can keep a lot of this talent here. It's generational talent. And then go drop the bag on a quarterback if you need to. If Deuce Knight is not it, and I do think he is a generational talent, but they have completely mismanaged that situation this year, if you ask me. He can't burn his red shirt, man. I'd see what he had. You know, if it looks bad enough, I'd see what he has over the last two games here. What if he's the dynamo that can get you to the promised land? Give him some reps, man. He's not getting any reps right now anywhere.
Right.
Not in practice, right? Like, it's all Jackson Arnold and Ashton Daniels right now. I don't know, Mike. I just think that there's so much that's been mismanaged. There's an opportunity for DJ Durkin to step in and do a lot of good in just 3 weeks.
All right, Mike, last question. Really appreciate your time. But how much confidence do you have in AD John Cohen to get this hire right for Auburn?
My confidence is an 8 out of 10 for John Cohen. I really like John. I think he's a good guy. I think he cares a lot. And I think that he manages the pressures of Auburn AD well. Now, he said yesterday, nobody believes him, but he said yesterday, not one time in all his time at Auburn has any booster or money person come to him and said, you got to play this guy or start this guy or make this decision or hire or fire this guy. He said that's never happened since he's been here. A lot of Auburn people are calling cap on that. However, I do believe that he understands what's needed here. Now, I think he understood that when he hired Hugh Freeze, and he was a lot of what John thought he was, except for the system and maybe a lack of, I don't know, motivation to implement the system. I'm careful with my words here, but John gets it. He understands Auburn, and I think that he'll make a good choice here. You've got to some extent, you have to take what you know, there's a lot of names that Auburn fans want, and people forget those guys have to want to come here as well too. So you can't say, why did they go out and get this guy? Well, you know, did that guy want to come here? Remember what Brett Venables said? He said, I don't know who I'd be working for if I took that job. And then he went to Oklahoma. So, you know, John Cohen has got to make this job into a job where people understand that they're going to be able to do the job the way they see fit. Nick Saban, when he got hired at Alabama, he told the boosters and the alum, write your checks and shut up. And I think Auburn needs a guy that can come in with that kind of gusto and say, look, man, write your checks and get out of my way. I'm going to run this football program. That's it. You don't need a puppet. You don't need some guy who's going to be, you know, like, he needs to embrace the culture. Certainly he does. And he needs to, you know, glad hand to do the things that you need to do to have a healthy program behind the scenes with the boosters. But he needs to run his program, man. And he needs to run it uninterfered with. And I think that John Cohen needs to be the thing that stands between those voices and the head coach to make sure that he can run the program the way that he sees fit. I think that Hugh Freeze was given that autonomy and it landed where it did, which is what landed him on the unemployment line. So, you know, when it did fail, it was all on him. He can't say, hey, you know, he said, I need money to go get this quarterback. I need, you know, so he went with Peyton Thorne for 2 years. And then he said, Jackson Arnold's the guy. And a lot of people said, after Peyton Thorne, this is what you're following him up with. And I thought, well, it's the former five-star guy. Maybe it's a better fit here. He certainly will have some better receivers and a better O-line, a better situation. And then it didn't work out. But Hugh Freeze made that choice, man. I'm telling you that he was given the autonomy to make that choice. Nobody told him what quarterback to go get. He said Jackson Arnold was the guy. He made that decision. And whoever you hire should have that same autonomy to say, hey, look, this is my guy. I'm going to go out and get him, and we're going to win with this guy. And, you know, hopefully you can take kids like Deuce Knight and develop them, because Hugh Freeze called Deuce the future of the program. But I'm telling you right now, he's not being treated like the future of the program. So what are they doing? You need a guy in with a clear vision and a plan to get these kids where they need to go. I want to see Deuce Knight play ball at Auburn. I'm tired of seeing top 50 overall kids come in and then transfer out. Deuce would be the second top 50 overall player at quarterback to come into this program and transfer out somewhere if he doesn't stay. That's generational talent. He's one of the highest rated recruits of all time to come through Auburn. He needs to play here, man. Let's see him take a few downs before he goes and make somebody else good.
Yeah, and isn't it wild? So the first game without Hugh Freeze, Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. There was a story this, I'm sure, you know, you're well aware, but you know, Hugh could have had old Diego at it, and he knew all about him because they came in with New Mexico State and beat him. But he's at Vanderbilt and he's completely turned around that program. And I'm sure Diego is, that's going to just fuel him, even though Hugh Freeze isn't there. You know what?
There was a story out that Tommy Tuberville tried to tell Hugh Freeze to go get Diego Pavia. Fervently, he said, go get Diego, go get this guy. And he didn't. And let me tell you, I worked in that program under Tuberville. Those guys did talent evaluation better than anybody I've ever seen. The two stars that came through Auburn in the early 2000s that left draft picks or free agents and then went on to be Pro Bowlers, insane. One of my favorite stories is a guy you probably know, the name Jay Ratliff. Nobody wanted him to come out of high school, man. He came to Auburn, and it was a Pro Bowler in the NFL with the Cowboys. I filmed his pro day, Mike, and the scouts kept talking about how good he was with his hands. They developed guys. I don't know if you remember the guy's name was Ben Grubbs. Oh, yeah. He played offensive line at Auburn in the early 2000s. He played defensive line in high school, and when he came to Auburn, they said, put on some weight, switch to O-line, you'll play 10 years in the NFL. Well, boy, did that come to pass. He played 9 years in the NFL, and when we interviewed him and he tells the story, he said, man, when they wanted me to switch positions, I was ready to quit, but I trusted my coaches, and they were right. Those guys developed. They had a weird eye for talent, and they could take talent and move talent and then make them successful at other things. That's how good at that they were. I'm ready to see that at Auburn again. But Hugh Freeze didn't have that. He couldn't take a quarterback and make him a quarterback. Let alone asking them to change positions.
Yeah, Auburn just never gave him a shot. All right. Hey, Mike, really appreciate you. Before you go, tell my audience how to follow you and how to find the War Report.
You guys already know. Follow me on Twitter at Mike Gittins, on Instagram at Mike Gittins _. We are the War Report on every social media platform. We are TW Report on TikTok. Follow us up on YouTube and sign up as a patron. We got lots of great behind-the-scenes content coming, film reviews. We're traveling to away games. My partner Ike Jones will be out in Nashville covering the Vanderbilt game live and bringing us lots of great live coverage. So please follow us on all social media.